It's episode 229, that's 229 of the Kaiju Podcast. Welcome everyone, I am your host, Chad O'Brien. Over there, that's Chris Charlton.
It's getting better.
That's right.
Every week, folks.
And on the other side, that's Jason Gibson.
Hello.
I don't know what Chris is talking about over there. Something happened in a previous life that he insists happened that didn't. But he's doing well. He's here. And Jason's here. So we got a full three-man team.
I'm on holiday.
You are on holiday. We are all on holiday.
Exciting. We are. I have 3 days off.
Oh, poor baby. Jason and I have, what, 2 weeks?
Oh, thereabouts, yeah.
Yeah. Because we're involved in education. It's the break between the school years right now. So
spring break.
That's right.
That means meetings.
Yep, for you. Yep. People who are only tangentially involved in the education system don't have to attend those meetings. So, mm-hmm. Bully for us.
Ooh, expendability.
That's right. At the cost of job security, right. So the kids are out playing, and I am at home playing, and everyone's having a jolly good time, I'm sure. So, what are we playing? Well, that's right, because there is no news. There's like literally nothing that's really worth talking about, at least as far as our little cabal is concerned.
I would say plenty is happening on the world stage.
Yes. Politically and possibly technologically and all kinds of different things are going on, but they do not concern us because we are trapped inside of our gaming bunkers all day, every day, for the next 3 days for Chris until the lock is released.
I'm going to the train museum tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're going to see that old outmoded form of transportation.
Yeah, and then I'm going to the immigration office to get my permanent residence.
You don't have a spousal visa?
No, I'm going to get permanent residence.
I see. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah,
change it over.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you will still not be able to vote or do anything. Yeah.
And then I'll have to go back to work. So.
Yep.
Because I tried to get, I was like a good citizen, so I was like, I tried to get everything. So if you apply for permanent residence in Japan, for folks who want to do that, there's like, if you go on the website, it's just like, oh, you just need this form and like this letter of guarantee, like you need a guarantor to sign this letter for you.
Which is your wife, right?
Which is my wife. And then like, and that's it. But the thing is, like, what they don't tell you is that they can accept or reject on a whim. It's basically whoever like sees your fucking application, right? So there's actually a bunch of other things that you probably should put in there, but they don't tell you that. It's like the Dark Souls of visa statuses. I thought, oh well, I should go and get my tax receipts for the last 3 years. And that would be nice and secure. So I went to my local ward office today because they're open on the first and third Saturdays of the month in the morning. And I was like, I'd like my tax receipts, please. And they're like, oh, the tax desk isn't open on a Saturday, even the Saturdays when the office is open. I was like, that's a jip.
Yes, it is.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Stinks.
Yeah, I just did my taxes last week, the day after they were due, because that was the first time I could get free. And it was nice because you can just go down to the tax office. I had a day off on a weekday, so I go down there, and they'll just do it for you. They'll just, like, type in some numbers and say, hey, put that number here. And then by the end of it, they said, the government owes you 30 yen. Look forward to that in 6 to 8 weeks. It's like, awesome.
A 30 yen check.
30 yen, for those who don't know, is about 25 cents. $25. So, yeah, that was great. But yeah, the permanent residency thing is really weird because, first off, you pretty much can't apply before you've been here for 10 years.
Yeah, but I've known people that have got it, like, really quickly.
Sure, sure.
Like, way under 10 years. So, yeah, it's...
Absolutely, but there's even... there's a point-based system as well for people who are, quote-unquote, highly skilled or basically, like, highly valued. And if you get a certain amount of points, basically you're guaranteed or you have, like, a super high chance of getting it even within 1 year. After being in Japan. And it's got something like you get 50 points if you make 30 million yen or more per year. You get like 15 points if you own, if you have a patent under your belt or something like that. All kinds of different things. You get 20 points for having the level 1 Japanese qualification. But, yeah. It's actually on the immigration website. So it's not as shady as all that, but it's still pretty shady that, like, basically, you know.
Yeah, I think I did see this, and I was like, nope. It's like, shit, like, have you got the Nobel Prize? Then you're straight in.
That's worth 30 points. You need 100 to pass. Like,
yeah, it's just like, it's your life in Japan, like, list of gold trophies.
Yeah. But, yeah, as we come to the end of this fiscal year, why don't we talk about what's coming out in the next fiscal year, or at least the first quarter of it. So, let's talk about April to June. This year, 2017, has been a great year for video game releases.
It's been a doozy, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been a really good year for Japanese video games.
Yes, it has. And we all know everybody was saying Japan is dead. And maybe they are after this. I don't know. It's a swan song. I don't know. Everybody has said that for the past decade and a half by this point. But... But yeah, we've had great games like Nier, Biohazard 7, or Resident Evil 7, Gravity Rush 2, Yakuza, all kinds of different things.
That's what dispute Gravity Rush 2, but like the Zelda, of course.
Yep,
pretty good.
And the West has been doing pretty well as, on the same front because we've had things like Horizon Zero Dawn. But the big release this week, it's kind of mediocre reviews at the moment. It's Mass Effect Andromeda.
I hear there's a line in that where that's repeated quite often where the character said that he looked pretty pissed off. I bet it's because I shot him in the face.
I can see that. I mean, just in general, combat lines get repeated quite a bit in games like this.
That would seem particularly nonsensical.
Yeah. Although I will take that over. I was hearing tales about Ghost Recon Wildlands, where while you're marking your targets, your character will count them off with you. He says 1 and 2, and apparently every time he gets to 3, he says, "And baby makes 3."
every time.
Yeah, I've heard that said. That's a real garbage man.
Fine. Yep. 60% of the time he says it every time. But timely joke. There's more games coming out between April and June when we have E3, but surprisingly few. It seems like there was a good old shotgun blast in the first 3 months, and then it's going to take some time to reload. But I decided, Chris decided for me, that we're going to go take a look at some of these games and basically judge, are we gonna open our wallets for them? Especially for me, I'm kind of interested if there's anything in the Switch, because I just finished Zelda this week, and I'm like, okay, what's next?
Splatoon 2.
I'm not a fan of Splatoon. But plenty of indies seem to be coming. Bloodstained just announced they're dropping Wii U and going there, and Yooka-Laylee is going there, and all kinds of different games. But yeah, let's go ahead and I've just got my list open for April. This is not a fully comprehensive list, so do not bite my head off if something you like is not included. Or you can tell me if you know something's coming out. Anyway, we've got... let's start with April. We go Drawn to Death's coming out to PS4. That has been confirmed.
Straight to PS Plus, yeah.
Right, straight to PS Plus. Which, that one's kind of been on like a rocky like release path for a while now. Like, it was going to be free to play, and then they announced that they were actually going to start charging for the release, and now it's PS Plus, but also they'll charge you for it if you don't have PS Plus. But it's a multiplayer game, so you have to have PS Plus to play it online. So, that is the game by, I forget his name, but he did Twisted Metal.
David Jaffe.
There you go, yeah.
Think about Jaffa Cakes.
David Jaffe. I'm American. David Jaffa Cakes. I'm American. We didn't have Jaffa Cakes.
Jaffa Cakes are delicious.
I'll take your word on that. I'm sure they are. We had Little Debbie, so.
Do you know Jaffa Cakes? Jaffa Cakes are actually cakes, they're not biscuits.
Is that like a Fig Newton question?
No, so in England, right, there's this thing that goes back to the Second World War, with rationing and stuff, where a biscuit is a luxury item. And therefore, I mean by that the English definition of biscuits, a cookie. And as such, they are taxed higher than cake, which is a standard or a lower tier of item or whatever. And so whoever makes Jaffa Cakes, the Jaffa Cake Company, were in trouble with this because they were like, oh, these small things, these are like little things in a box. They're clearly biscuits. They're clearly cookies. And not, even though they're called Jaffa Cakes, they're not cakes, they're biscuits. So you have to pay this higher tax. And they're like, no. These things are actually cakes. And so to prove this, they made a giant Jaffa Cake and took it into the courtroom to prove that this was a cake and not a biscuit. And, of course, do you know the defining difference between a cake and a biscuit?
Sponginess?
Well, kind of, yeah. You see, when a biscuit gets old, it will go soft. And a cake, when it gets old, it will go hard. And that's how they proved that a Jaffa Cake was a cake, by making a giant Jaffa Cake and then letting it go stale. Yeah. Which, you know, was a terrible waste of, like, possibly the greatest concoction ever. It's like, we made a giant Jaffa Cake. You would just want to eat that.
And during rationing, which is, you know, even
there's a war going on. Just prove this point.
Oh my.
Uniquely British.
If Drawn to Death is not getting you, then Persona 5, the Western release, is coming out on the same day, April 4th.
I hear from esteemed game critic Chad O'Brien that is quite a good game.
It was, yes, it was my game of the year. Get on that. Play that thing. And enjoy. I don't really know how the English is going to turn out. I haven't listened to English voices or anything like that. But Persona 4 Golden was really good. So I'm assuming this will be all right. Anyway.
Took a sweet time. So.
Yep, moving on. We have April 7th, Bulletstorm, the full clip edition with Duke Nukem appearance. I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass.
Bulletstorm is a good game.
Yes. Yep. But do you need to play it again?
No. No. Also, I got it on the cheap. I did play Bulletstorm. I got it on the cheap. I got it late. And I thought, that's a good game. But yeah, it'll be on sale. probably by Christmas.
Yeah, sure. April 11th, that is the release of Starblood Arena, which is basically the only game for PlayStation VR that has been touted recently. It's a multiplayer online shooter. But in a much more, it's sci-fi, but a little bit more cartoony than, say, EVE Online. Or not EVE Online, but, what's that thing called? EVE, whatever.
How much are you using your PlayStation VR now?
Well, not so much at the moment because I'm on the Switch, but when I use my PlayStation, about once a week. But that's just because all of the great games that have been coming out are, like, I want to play a lot of the VR stuff I've got. Like, I got the Psychonauts game and a couple of other things. There are still things I want to do in Resident Evil 7, but yeah, all these other games that have come out that aren't VR compatible. It's not for a lack of material. I still have stuff to go through, but I just haven't. And then we have Yooka-Laylee coming out to basically everything: PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And that'll be great because it looks amazing from what I've seen. There's that. I will probably pick that one up.
I don't know. I'll wait and see. Wait and see. Given the, I never actually played Banjo-Kazooie. I tell you, I played a bit of Nuts and Bolts, but that was kind of a very different game, really, to what Yooka-Laylee is. So I think like my strongest frame of reference to sort of Rare 3D action platformers would not even Conquer, Donkey Kong 64, which was pretty abysmal. So, I don't know.
And then we have Full Throttle Remastered, which is part of the Play Collection. The Silver Case is coming to PS4. Yeah. Yep. I am really interested in that. Jason, you're allowed to chime in anytime. So.
Yeah, you keep saying words that I'm just like, yeah, that's a word.
Silvercase came out on PC.
Yeah, it's already out.
Yeah, but that's like a mystery game, right?
Yeah, but it's a Suda 51 game, so.
Not really my thing.
Okay. Micro Machines World Series. Coming out.
I used to love Micro Machines because Micro Machines used to be great. Ring Code Masters. I don't. Who even has that now? Micro Machines.
I don't know. Western release of Dragon Quest Heroes 2 is out at the end of the month, April 25th.
Why wouldn't you just get it on Switch for like 1 and 2? You get both, right?
But that's only the Japanese version.
Also because not a good version.
Right, yeah.
Just in turn, like the PS4 version is dramatically visually better. If you have a look at the Video Digital Foundry did on it.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like the Switch is like, almost on, like, they were, it's closer to the Vita version, you know, in terms of
graphical fidelity.
It's more like how many characters you can put on screen at the same time and the draw distances.
The frame rates.
It's kind of like when Nintendo said, you know, you can play Hyrule Warriors on your 3DS, and yes, in a way you can, if, like, you want a Dynasty Warriors game that can only hold, like, 10 people on the screen at a time. Instead of 100. We've also got Outlast 2 coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. I was not really impressed with the demo. But I'm still looking forward to the game. It kind of depends on what kind of price they're looking at when it comes out.
When you say Outlast, it made me think of Outrun, and I haven't gotten fucking Magical Sound Shower out of my head for the last week. Mainly because it's like, so Outrun is in Yakuza 0, And I'm like, oh, I've got this thing to go to, but there's an arcade on the way, so I'll drop in and play OutRun. And hence Magical Sound Shower, just like constantly in my mind all the time. And now it's back in there because you said Outlast. Now, yeah.
I apologize for that. Mm-hmm. So Chris,
you're gonna put this on the open of the show on you just to piss me off.
That's right. Yeah.
This
OutRun 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we have. I mean, are you going to listen to this podcast anyway? I mean, you say it, so why would you listen to it? I see.
I always listen.
I listen to the first 5 minutes just to do a sound check, then I'm done. We've got Puyo Puyo Tetris is finally coming to the West.
It's been out for years.
Yeah, years. Not in the West, in Japan.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, I look at Reddit every so often, and that's a very common question on the Reddit forums is, I'm going to Japan. What kind of exclusive Japanese game should I get in Japan? And number one is always Puyo Puyo Tetris.
It's the only one. Now,
yeah,
you know, everything comes out everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. We've got Siberia 3. That's Siberia 3 with a Y. Siberia.
Yep.
And so there's that. Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness is coming to PC along with Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War 3. I remember the first Dawn of War back in college. Memories. Then Little Nightmares, that game.
That's good.
Yep, mm-hmm. It looks good. It's done by some people from the Tearaway team who kind of left, made their own studio, Tarsier Studio. Yeah, it looks good. It's kind of like a horror vibe, but it's stylized cutesy. Like characters and stuff, but still kind of scary. Anyway, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe for Switch. I will pass on that because I don't care about Mario Kart. You have a child,
Yeah. It's a good family thing. Also, my wife likes Mario Kart. She doesn't
there you
play
go.
Video games, which is like, she'll like Mario Kart. So I will get that, and that will help justify my Switch purchase.
There you go. Which you haven't made yet, but you will.
No, I won't.
Yep. Let's see. We've got, that's about all the bigger ones in April. In May, we've got, Prey, on 5/5, Cinco de Mayo. We've got Prey. And I'm liking what I see in that. It does look kind of tropey, but at the same time, I'm interested in some of the physics stuff that you can do. Like turning into a coffee mug and rolling around and everything like that. So, yeah, there is Strafe for PC. That's kind of it's gonna be like a modern style shooter, but with 1990s style like graphics. They kind of joke around by calling it like bleeding edge graphics and gameplay, and there's even like a Splatoon style element where you have to shoot people and like coat the walls in blood. It looks fun when you watch it in motion.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I had a really good not trailer but like hype video for it. You should look for that.
Yeah. Yep.
Live action thing. It was quite funny.
Yep. In the middle of the month, May 16th, we've got Injustice 2, which will inevitably come to PS Plus, so I'll pick it up then.
I don't know. I mean, like, well, the first one took about a year and a half or something.
Yeah, but I mean, the only reason I ever pick up those games is for the story, and I'm not going to pay $60 for that story, so...
is that coming out on Switch?
No, it is not. PS4 and Xbox One. Yep.
Then again, already fuck it then.
Then the same day we have the sci-fi Dark Souls, The Surge, done by Deck 13, who did which one was it? Lords of the Fallen or that other one?
It's Lords of Fallen, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There was another one. I can't remember. Anyway, so there's that. I am kind of interested in that, and, like, you gotta remove body parts from your enemies so you can add them to your own, like, a little mech suit. That seems interesting. May 19th, we have the Fire Emblem Echoes, Shadows of Valentia. This is a remake of Fire Emblem Gaiden, which never came to the West, I believe. I could be wrong.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So this will be the first time for a lot of people to get their hands on that outside of like fan translations. And it's more Fire Emblem. So that's good for me because I love Fire Emblem. Disgaea 5 Complete is coming to Nintendo Switch. So if you like your Disgaeas and your millions of damage points, then there you go.
It's already out here, I think.
It's on the PS4. But not...
so it's already out like in Japan on the Switch, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. There is a Disgaea game on the Switch.
You're right. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Then, May 26th, we have Rime. The kind
oh,
of.
Finally.
Yeah, yeah, finally.
I'm intrigued.
As am I.
Because, yeah, of like the thing where. So, like, we talked about this last year, right? Where it was almost around the Coleco Chameleon phase.
Yeah,
where it was like, there was no... So, yeah, where it turned out all the pitches to Sony were just based off nothing. Like, there was no fucking video game there. And now they've actually made it, and it's coming out. So, whew.
Yeah, like...
Intrigued.
It got so bad that Sony actually... took their dev kit back. Like, they said, yeah, no, sorry, you can't, no. But apparently, you know, that they still understand that PlayStation has the biggest install base, so it's still coming to PS4, as well as Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch. So, I don't know, maybe that'll be my next, like, Zelda kick, kind of. So, it does have a vibe like that. But, May 30th, we get Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Oh, is that the VR one?
Yep. I am somewhat intrigued, but at the same time, it does not look that good. But games often look a lot better when you're in the headset, so... I don't know. It's really hard to judge just based on, like, YouTube videos. That does it for May. In June, very few confirmed releases, but we have Tekken 7 coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One, and PlayStation VR. We still don't know in what capacity that's going to work.
First person.
I really hope not. I'm pretty sure not. Yeah.
With Eddie. First person Eddie. Hilarious.
But I don't know if it's going to be like over the shoulder, or just like a side view. That'll be interesting. Dirt 4 is coming out June 6th. Along with, at the end of the month, the next Final Fantasy 14 expansion, Stormblood. So, Marcelo, if you're out there, get excited. And June 30th. Which could be a placeholder date because June 30th is it sounds like a placeholder date, just the end of the month. And it's not a Tuesday, is the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. So the remakes of, 1, 2, and 3. And none of those really appeal to me. So, yeah. That'll be my catch-up month when I finally go back to The Witcher 3 or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It sounds like the years sort of settle down.
That's really, right. You know, it really does.
Peace and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's already plenty of E3 talk going around, like news of a possible sequel to what's it called? I know the Japanese title, Psycho Break. The Evil Within.
Oh, Evil Within, yeah.
Yeah. Which, actually, I would kind of be excited for, because that was a good base for a game.
Or you're going to get in the same issues I had with Gravity Rush. Like, yeah.
Yep.
It's the same. It was a good base for the sequel.
Yeah. Well, we will see. And that's it. So, what have we been playing this week? I'm just gonna start because I have very little to talk about, and I'll let you guys, I've kind of been dominating the conversation, so I'll let you guys go to it. But, I just basically started, my Mass Effect Andromeda campaign. And, I've only played about 3 hours, 1 hour of that was in character customization. Well, not really that much, because it's not very extensive at all. Not in the way of a Fallout 4 or anything like that. You basically pick a couple of preset faces, and then you can basically move the features around. You can't select, like, new noses and new eyes or anything like that. So anyway, I created my character. I went with, the female option. So Tasha Ryder. Apparently, I didn't know this, you are a set of twins. So you have a twin brother, or if you are the male, then you have a twin sister. And you are the children of the Pathfinder. In the year 2185, humans had the Mass Effect technology, but they were like, well, you know, our galaxy's pretty cool, but why don't we try another galaxy? Because, you know, they were kind of getting attacked by collectors and everything, so they decided to send out these gigantic ships over to the Andromeda Galaxy, which is our nearest neighbor. And it took about 600 years for the ships to arrive, and everyone's in a cold sleep, and you wake up, and you're like, hey, we're here, let's go explore some planets. And so I am currently exploring the first planet, which is not very friendly to me. Sad to say. Basically, you're doing stuff that, that feels very familiar. You're just going around waiting for the next monster closet to open up, and then you pop some enemies, until it's clear, and then you run to the next monster closet. And you do enough of that, and you get a level up, and you get some new skills, or, new upgrades for your equipment and things like that. Now, I mean, this is really just the first 2 hours of play, so it's more like the tutorial, so I'm not gonna judge it too harshly. But I will say that in the cutscenes I've played so far, I haven't really encountered, any of the facial animation issues. They still do have, like, the stiff brows. But it's not as bad as, like, videos online kind of suggested. Which makes sense, because those videos often, like, cherry-pick, to make a point. But, the only times when it really did kind of register what was going on is, every character, at least on the current planet, is wearing, like, a helmet, because they can't breathe the atmosphere, so they're wearing a helmet, and all you can see is their eyes and their forehead. So, no character ever moves at all when they're talking, so that looks kind of odd. But yeah, combat is pretty good. It looks amazing, but there are severe, frame judder issues. It never completely, like, slows down, but you'll see some definite judder in there. Whether it's during cutscenes or in the actual, like, when you're moving around and stuff. Like I said, it never gets in the way of actual gameplay, but it's extremely noticeable, and it's like, oh, that didn't feel good. But yeah, those are my really quick first impressions, so.
I hear it's kind of fun to, like, actually be out in the open as opposed to, like, in the series of corridors from the first three games.
Yeah, that's certainly true. It's the first planet so far. It's a little bit more closed off than, say, like, an area in Dragon Age Inquisition. But there are different branching paths, and they kind of loop around, and you can finish the mission how you want. Lots of optional objectives, and you're like, oh, I'll go down this way. Oh, look, there's a giant alien sculpture. I'll go check that thing out. And yeah.
Sounds good.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard that game doesn't get interesting until like 25 hours in. So good luck with that.
Well, as we just said, there's nothing coming out for the next 3 months, so...
yeah, I hope you stick with it up to that point, you know.
I will play this and nothing but until June.
Just until it gets good.
I played Die Tryin'.
Yeah, I played a couple of games. I've played a little game and a slightly bigger game. The little game I've been playing is on the phone. It is called Type Shift. It's a word game by the same guy that did Spell Tower. Spell Tower is also a good wordy puzzle game. This is a game where you have to make words, and it's kind of like doing combination. It's like a combination padlock, right? Effectively, we have a bunch of columns of letters, and you slide down those columns in order to like choose the letter you want in the highlighted line. And if you can make a word with all of those columns, then that's good. And you want to eventually use every letter on the puzzle in order to make a bunch of words and then clear it. So you can do that. And then there's also like another mode where it gives you crossword clues, basically. And then you make words based off of those. It's a nice little word game. It's quite good. It's free. There's occasional adverts, but it's nothing too offensive. And you can buy extra level packs and stuff. It's quite good. I kind of recommend it. And the other thing I've been playing is Everything. I've been playing Everything.
Oh, well.
Basically,
what's your opinion on Everything?
Yeah. It's all right. It's like, I came to the thing of, like, at the end of, you know, I just written a review, it hasn't gone up yet, but, yeah, it's difficult to really put yourself out there with the game and say what you think, because your strap line to the review is just your take on life, isn't it? Like, everything's awesome. Everything's shit. I hate everything. I hate everything. So it basically came down to everything's all right. It's what you make of it, basically. It's a game where, it procedurally generates not even, I guess it procedurally generates a universe. And then allows you to be everything in it. So if you get close to another object, you can press the R2 button if it's something bigger than you, or L2 button if it's something that's smaller than you, and then you just inhabit that object and you can move around. So like everything from a molecular level up bigger and bigger and bigger. So you're controlling continents, and then you can control whole planets, and then you control like a galaxy. And then it goes further up than that into a weird sort of one dimensional plane. And then you go up from that, and then you're a molecule again, you know? So like everything is systems within systems within systems.
I thought it was going to go like super meta, where like you would suddenly become the programmer of the game.
Now, what you do get more things. You get more things to fuck with the further you go in the game, because there is a story to it, which isn't. Yeah, you kind of think straight away, oh, it's just a little software toy, but there is kind of a campaign, which I don't think is very good. And what it makes you do is not very good. But there's a little twist in there. It's like, eh. But once you're done with that, you can fuck around with a whole bunch of tools. So you can make things as big as you like and as small as you like. And you can spawn as many of them as you like until basically you break the fucking engine. And then something funny happens. It reaches through the fourth wall. It says, like, universe destroyed by frame rate caps and things like that. But one of the cool things that you did, one of the abilities you get is just to instantly transform yourself into any item you've already inhabited, basically. So it was like, oh, okay, as soon as I got this ability, I was on a planet. I was being a bear, I think, and like tumbling awkwardly around the landscape, which is very funny. And it was like, okay, so I'm just going to generate, I'm going to choose galaxy. And I assumed it would pop me out of the world, you know, and take me to the galaxy view. But no, it spawned a galaxy on this planet. So then it was like, so now I'm going to drill down. So then I was a planet within the galaxy within this other planet.
Wait, what was this, a galaxy sized galaxy on the planet? Or was it
it was a little galaxy, and then I could drill down into that and then be one of the planet and like all of the little animals that were living on that planet within this, and you can go back through that as well. So it was like, so I went, you know, you can go down onto the controller little ant on that planet, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I can go back. And it was like going back up to the galaxy level, went up again, and I was like, oh yeah, this is the planet I was on before.
There's the bear.
Yeah. It's interesting, but like, you know, obviously there isn't that much to do. You kind of unlock lectures by Alan Watts, who was a 20th century philosopher. And one of the first lectures like you unlock, he's talking about, you know, he says, the first thing you have to understand is that there's no such thing as a thing. And once you get that through your head, then you'll be absolutely fine. And like, that is just like the thesis of what this game, everything is. You know, you have to get it into your head that this is not, you know, this isn't going to be, this is something to fuck around with, basically.
Right.
But it's good. It's good. I just, yeah, there's, the things it kind of makes you do in the first couple of hours. It was specifically about an hour and a half in. I was like, oh, fuck it. Especially like, shall I tell you how I finished the game? Is that too much of a spoiler?
I don't plan on playing it, so it doesn't bother me.
I finished the game by putting the controller down and letting the game play itself. Because if you do put the controller down, it will just do itself. Like, you know, you don't actually have to do anything. You can just like put it down and like it will happily play itself.
Yeah. Sounds like right. There you go. Try everything.
Try it. Yeah. There you go.
Zootopia.
Yeah. Zootopia reference.
So those two, I guess I'll talk about the game I've been playing for the past little while. It's called Hollow Knight.
Oh!
Did you back that, Chad?
I did.
You did.
But it's not on PS4 yet, so.
It will be coming to Switch.
Yep.
Apparently it's getting released on Switch, and I think that'd probably be a better place to get it, honestly.
Yeah, that was a day one for me. I loved the look of it and everything. Yeah,
it's great. It's really good. Have you heard about it at all, Chris?
Heard the name.
It's a Metroidvania, and the art style is really interesting. Like it's all hand drawn, and the character animation is kind of cartoony, but kind of like dark cartoony. All the characters are bugs, but like they're anthropomorphic bugs, basically. So it's like anthropomorphic cartoony bugs, but kind of dark and gothic a little bit, and all the backgrounds are also completely hand-drawn, but not quite as cartoony, more just straight dark and gothic. The gameplay itself is really good. I mean, it's pretty much a standard Metroidvania. You start off in a little entrance area, you go through, you get to a town, you talk to some people, they say, oh, there's a well over there that goes down to the kingdom underneath the ground, and there's all sorts of dangerous stuff down there. So, okay, well, I guess I'm going down that well. So you go down the well, and you find some, you go through the first area and you see, oh, okay, well, this is the part where I need double jump. Can't go that way. Oh, okay, well, this is the part where I need to dash. Can't go that way. This is the part where I need to learn how to, like, you know, fly or whatever. I can't go that way. So just, you know, standard Metroidvania things. And you go through it and you can, it's more of a Castlevania style than a Metroid style, because all you have is a sword to start with. You do learn a few, like, spells later in the game, but it's mostly just you and your sword. Going through, and you play through it for about maybe 5 or 6 hours, and it's really good. The gameplay is really good. The fighting is really good. And then after about 5 or 6 hours, the designers apparently decided that you'd had enough doing just standard Metroidvania and decided to chuck a little Dark Souls difficulty in there, and start like putting in enemies that will actually just like kill you. we'll just straight up murder you. if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't play it right, if you don't like play the little Dark Souls mini game with every enemy where you have to learn their moves and then do the proper counter move, or you will just die. Yeah, they put a little bit of that in there, and the bosses actually get really, really interesting and fun to play later in the game, because again, they put that difficulty aspect in there, and you have to like dodge around. Like the most recent boss I fought was I think it was like the second time I had to fight this crystal geode covered bug or something, and he covers the entire screen in laser beams. And if you touch a laser beam, it'll do 2 points of damage to you. And you only start with like 5 health bars. I think I've got like 8 now. But if you touch any of the laser beams, you will die. And he also shoots laser beams at you from his hand. And if those shoot you more than like 2 or 3 times, you're going to die. So it's you know, going back to like the Dark Souls boss fights, you will probably die a few times. But once you sort of learn the ins and outs of each fight, the mechanics and the tactics, then you can sort of like, you get that really feeling of accomplishment after beating it. Cause you're like, ah, yeah, I did that right. It was great. And you don't really get like equipment or anything so much. What you get is, like these little, what are they called? Like badges or something. And, you can like things that'll like make your sword longer, or you can slash faster, or you can gain more soul, which is another little interesting mechanic where you have like a little soul gauge, and you use that for casting spells and also to heal yourself. You can press a focus button and you'll do a little like a little Goku move. And when it's done, you'll gain a life back, and you feel the soul gauge by hitting enemies. So like you can attack enemy when you get low on life, you attack some enemies, fill your soul gauge up, heal yourself up, and then continue on your way. And you can get abilities that'll like make your soul charge faster. You can get more soul. You can get soul when you're getting hit. It's really quite good. And actually the story is really interesting too. That's kind of what sucked me into it when I first started playing it, because I mean, you get thrown into the world and you don't know what's going on. They're like, oh, there's a well. Okay. That's not very interesting. But then you get into it, and it's the way they tell the story also is kind of reminiscent of Dark Souls, where like they don't tell you a story, like things happen and you sort of put two and two together, or like there'll be like a broken tower or something. And there's things there that you can see, that you can, you know, you understand the story. It's never really actually like straight up told to you. And I thought that was really good as well. So yeah, and it's actually it's on Steam right now. I think it's only like $15. It's really cheap, so I would definitely recommend picking up. And like I said earlier, it's coming out for Switch pretty soon. Also, Linux and Mac should be coming out for. I didn't see anything about it coming out for PS4 on the website earlier today, but that doesn't mean it won't.
Yeah, I could be wrong on that, but yeah, sounds good. I would love to play that if I get the chance. So maybe the Switch.
Pick it up on Switch. I think that would actually be a great place to play it.
But the PlayStation is the place to play. That's like their logo.
Ha, 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 ha. Yes, that's true. That's true.
There you go.
PlayStation.
No! Zing!
Zing.
Yeah, you had one more, Chris, right?
No, I gave him that because it's type shift and everything.
Right,
he did too.
Okay. Yep, forgot about type shift there. But, that is all the games we've been playing. So, we already talked about what's coming out in the next 3 months, but there's stuff coming out next week. Mm-hmm. Next week is not part of April to June.
Of course.
That's right.
Well, lay it on us.
There you go. So we've got a couple of games coming up. Has-Been Heroes is coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. PS4 will be getting Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remake and 2.5, I'm sorry, Remix. Not Remake. And 2.5 Remix. How many remixes of those games have there been so far? How many games have there been? That's seriously.
Well, I think probably there's been more remixes than there have been original games.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's more Kingdom Hearts titles than Final Fantasy titles by this point. But MLB The Show 17, which has some of the most horrific graphical glitches you've ever seen.
but that was the pre-alpha.
Oh, sure. Like, those were worked out. But, wow. Haunt Your Nightmares, if you go look those up. Old Time Hockey, coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Which I assume offers old time hockey. Parappa the Rapper Remastered.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes.
Ready? That's not on my list here. No, that's next week.
That's what we're doing, next week's releases.
No. Next week. Because Rainworld is this week. On the.
Actually, you know what? You're right. Okay, well then, the Wikipedia is wrong. How can Wikipedia be wrong? It's completely official. Ooh. With no public input whatsoever. The third episode of The Walking Dead Season 3, which, I haven't even started. I haven't heard anything about it, so, I'm not sure that's a good thing. Is coming out. In Japan, there's a couple of titles coming out. The new Attack on Titan game for 3DS. Okay. Yeah. Blue Reflection, which is kind of a game by the Atelier series creators, so it's one of those. Alliance Alive, which is made by the FoodYou team, who did Legend of Legacy, so they really like their alliteration. Alliance Alive, Legend of Legacy. There you go. And,
except Alliance Alive isn't the alliteration, Colin.
It's
to be a consonant sound.
Well, true, but,
Isn't that assonance?
No.
Anyway, we have, Thimbleweed Park, which is the, Ron Gilbert game. Coming to PC and Xbox One, so no PlayStation there.
I think we're going to... No, it's coming out on PlayStation, but maybe not this week it's coming out.
I think it's only coming out on Xbox One because of the Play Anywhere thing. So PS4 will be later, yeah. Then we have Musou Stars, which is the Dynasty Warrior games that is all just Koei Tecmo properties. So, yeah, if you like Koei Tecmo, then pick that up, I guess. Yeah. And that's it. There you go.
There's more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. PlayStation 4's game, Anoxemia, which is, it sounds like it's one of those walking games. It says it's a story-driven exploration game where you're under the water. You're under the ocean floor. So is that, if you want... APB Reloaded is coming out now. This is, if you remember APB, that was like
NES game.
It was originally a Midway arcade game, but yeah, it did get an NES port.
Yeah,
it was
kind of, I remember
if
that.
If you think of it, it was sort of like a proto Grand Theft Auto, like way
you
before
were the
such
cop.
Idea. You were the cop, yeah. And you had to like do cop things under a time limit or whatever. And that APB license eventually wound its way to some British studio that turned it into an MMO that was very much a Grand Theft Auto, like it's sort of GTA Online before GTA went online. And it was utterly, utterly abysmal. And this appears to be a remake of that. So, yeah. Fatal Fury, there's a Fatal Fury... there's a PS2 classic, fuck that. Fated the Silent Oath. It's, what does it say here? Set in the mythical age of Vikings, the tale of courage and sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. An everyday father and husband must do the impossible to save his family from the destruction of the world at the hands of giants of old.
Oh, I think I've heard of, you said it's Fated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was weird because I know it's a PlayStation VR game and like the character, like the main character looks like a Geralt ripoff.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It's a PSVR game. So yeah. It seems a little bit. Yeah. Heroes of the Monkey Tavern, that looks pants. Horse Racing 2016, that's what it says on the tin. 2016? Okay. Horse Racing 2016 is coming out next week on the PS4. Looks like a PlayStation 1 sort of cover art thing. It's a game for everyone. Feel the thrill of a real racing championship. Hours and hours of play will keep you coming back for more.
Will it keep me coming back?
Yes, for more of another video game. Coryx looks like a tower defense game. Nightmares from the Deep 2. Let's see what else got. Punch Club. That is a port of a mobile game. People say
I played that. It was pretty good. Yeah, it's one of those resource management games.
Yeah. Still pretty good. RBI Baseball 2017. Rainwild, which I know, Chad, you're on that.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I can't talk about it because of embargoes, but yeah.
Yeah. Skykeeper, which is a 2D platformer. Snake Pass is coming up, which is a very pretty looking 3D platform thing, puzzle platformer.
Yeah, it's a platformer but without jumping. Which is kind of like, I
wasn't really sure about, but Sumo Digital are in it, and Sumo are a very good studio. And so we should begin that in, I think. We Are the Dwarves.
Uh-oh. Last week we had This is the Police, and now we have We Are the Dwarves.
Right. And Wonder Boy Returns.
All right. Well, those are the games coming out next week. I've got something in my throat, but because I'm all choked up because it's the end of the show, guys. It's time for us to go. But if you want to hear more of us, well, not hear, but read more of what we have to say, you can go on over to our website at kaijupop.com, or you can follow the other things we do on social media at Twitter, we're kaijupop, or YouTube, kaijupop. Go check out our stuff. Like, subscribe. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. And that will do it. If you want to reach us personally, you can follow me on Twitter at Kyoshi Banzai.
You can follow me on Twitter at ReasonJP.
And you can follow me at Gibsaurus.
And that's going to do it for episode 229. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.